Black Op Radio presents.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Black Op Radio. We have the privilege of speaking to Mr. Jimmy Dore. Hello, Mr. Dore. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I listened to you for years. I've gone to one of your shows in Vancouver, and it's just, you can't get this because it's like we're an old friend. I've listened to you for so long, you never know who I am. But it's like, I agree with that guy. And you're the kind of friend even, yeah, I don't agree with that. But I still like your point of view on so many things. That's why it's a pleasure. You know, sometimes, like, I don't know if I told you that earlier when I called in one time, but even if I don't agree with you, my first thing is, how am I wrong about that? Like, if, you know, Jimmy Dore says that point of view, and there's, you know, so many things. But first of all, for people who don't know too much about you, you are a political comedian. You've done shows, I think, from 2015 on. But the Jimmy Dore show on Rumble is where you should look. And, of course, at your own website. But I guess to start off, I just really appreciate your tone on political science with a comedic background. I used to listen to The Daily Show before when it was good and when there was Jon Stewart was okay before things went sideways. But tell me, can you comment on that? Like how you put comedy into politics in order to really promote it?
I just been doing comedy for a long time, right? I moved to LA in 1995 to try to get on TV. I've been doing comedy a few years in Chicago and it worked out pretty good. Started getting on Comedy Central and NBC and ABC and CBS and A&E and all that stuff. So I was doing a lot of TV comedy. And then about 2006, the UCB Theater opened up in Hollywood and they asked me if I would do a show. And so I had to come up with a show that was different than stand-up. And I was a big fan of The Daily Show like you were. And I'd been watching a lot of cable news. I'd hurt my back. And I just decided to do a video show and show clips of stuff that I found outrageous. And it was a mixture of pop culture and politics. It was called Pop and Politics. And then that just morphed into the Jimmy Dore show because I got a radio show in Los Angeles on KPFK. I had that for about, 10 or 12 years. And I just always was surrounded by comedians and it was just normal to put humor into the show. And it's ripe. It's easy. You know, I mean, they're already satirizing themselves. They're already it's just easy.
Well, there's not that many people who do it that well. I was a big fan of Bill Hicks, George Carlin, you know, those guys, they were kind of pulled back the curtain and it was uncomfortable. And, you know, there's a way that you can explain what the politicians are doing and then the show the opposite is true. And with a lot of your stories, they're 180 degrees. You'll tell, here's what they're saying, but behind the curtain, here's what's really going on. And I'll get into some of these because I have bullet points that I want to bring up with you. But for people who don't know your show, I just want to really help promote to anybody listening to Black Op Radio, tune into you because I listen to you religiously.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment. I'm flattered.
Yeah. So with that, you know, George Carlin, Bill Hicks and that, is there an angle that you think that really was a catalyst for you to get into that as opposed to just telling humor about a car crash or something?
I mean, I was always I was always interested in politics since I was in high school. I had a class called Current Events taught by, it was basically, we just had to read Time magazine every week. And then we would talk about what was happening in the world. And it was fascinating to me. What was also fascinating to me was that back then Time magazine wasn't as horrible as it is now.
Yeah.
It was back in when there was 50 media companies in America. Now there's only 6. So back then there was a little, you had a little more variety in the news reporting. And so when I would read Time magazine, you'd kind of get in depth behind you know, more of a more complete look at the news than you would from the. So then I would watch that, and then I would read that, and then I would watch the network news with Tom Brokaw, and I was like, oh my God, that he's not telling you what's going on at all. It was really shocking to me. That was my first wake up call. Like, oh my God, the TV news is not telling you what's actually going on at all. They'll even tell you the opposite of what's happening. And so that was my first entree into that. But I always loved, you know, George Carlin, Lenny Bruce. And then I got to meet Bill Hicks and see him. I saw Bill Hicks probably perform. I probably saw him perform, I don't know, 30, 40 times. It was
really
amazing. He used to play Chicago 4 weeks a year. So I would always go see him every night. And he would do 2 and 3 shows on Fridays and Saturdays. And so I would get to see him a bunch. So that was really, you know, and I loved Dennis Miller back in the day. Dennis Miller was really a great, his black and white special is one of the most perfect specials I've ever seen. It really, you know, gave me the itch to do comedy in general. And so it just was always whatever it was always the thing that I gravitated towards.
For myself, I wasn't interested in politics too much, but I got an interest in the JFK assassination. And mm-hmm. when I saw Commission Exhibit 399, the quote, magic bullet, and I went, well, there's no way that bullet did anything. And you start, you know, they call it going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Well, they lied about this. They lied about that. They lied about a lone gunman. They lied. And then it really was a university education that you go, not only are they covering it up, but they're responsible. And then you get into, oh, Martin Luther King, what, Bobby Kennedy, assassin, right. Oh, Sirhan doesn't remember anything. And God, if you want to go down to even John Lennon, who shoots somebody and then sits down and starts opening a book and reads Catcher in the Rye. I mean, talk about your mind control. And for people uninitiated to it, they would, oh, that's too far out. That's, you know, tinfoil hat stuff. But when you have Kurt Metzger on, I mean, he goes, oh, I'll tell you the background of that. I'll tell you this, right?
Yeah.
So, I want to ask you what a couple of things since we're getting into the lies, right? You're one of the few shows, and there's a few people, I'm going to mention them in a minute, but you really go after, what I appreciate, Russiagate, Syria, Ukraine, COVID, and the Nord Stream pipeline, just to name a few. I mean, these are things in the news that our friends, who sometimes I have problems or lose a friend because they just can't fathom the total 180 degree shift from what they're seeing nightly on the news compared to what I mean, especially in Syria. But do you want to just speak about maybe one of those topics, the COVID or Ukraine or Russiagate?
Well, you know,
COVID, I mean, since you've done such a good job on it.
You know, I had Cheryl Atkinson on. She was a former CBS News reporter. She's still a reporter. I think she works for maybe News Nation or something. But she was a guest anchor on the CBS News. She was a fill-in anchor. Mm-hmm. And she was just on my show. And we were talking about COVID. And I was talking about how, you know, how people, their whole life was about being anti-establishment and about not trusting government and big corporations and especially big pharma, and how they just flipped on a dime and became not only believers and ingesting the propaganda uncritically, but then they went out and narrative enforced and they shamed other people for doing their own research. Like,
yeah,
they've been doing their own research their whole life and finding out the truth behind the lies of the government and the powerful. And then they just stopped. And Cheryl Atkinson said to me, I said, you know, well, how do you account for that? And she said to me, it looked like a psyop. And that's exactly what it was. COVID was a psyop. It was, you know, the CIA, that was a DARPA program, DARPA is from the Pentagon. And Anthony Fauci worked for the Pentagon. That's why he was the highest paid man in government. He was in charge of their bioweapons. And that's what that all was about. And so you create a weapon and then you create a vaccine to counter that weapon you invented. And that's what we lived through. Plus, and so then they had the, you know, the overwhelming propaganda. And of course, now we find out that the CIA lied about the COVID, just as like the Anthony Fauci, just like the news media, just like the government. They all lied about it. It wasn't a thing they didn't lie about. What did they lie about, Jim? Well, they lied about funding the virus.
Yeah.
They lied about where that virus actually came from. They lied about the fatality rate of the virus. They made it seem way scarier than it was. They lied about transmission. They lied about contraction. They lied about the efficacy of the vaccine. They lied about herd immunity, natural immunity, masks, lockdowns. There wasn't a social distance.
I know.
There wasn't a thing they didn't lie about. And when I asked Cheryl Atkinson, why do you think more people who consider themselves anti-establishment truth tellers aren't more upset about this? And she said, because it looks to me like a psyop was committed on them. And that's exactly what has happened. A psyop was committed not only on those people, but the whole world. And only a few people saw, only a handful of people saw through it. And the people who did see through it, like us, were ostracized and shunned and slandered. And even by people I've known my whole life, it was like someone had brainwashed the people I know who saw through Russiagate and took all the barbs for that. Like, we were not popular in Hollywood, the people who saw through Russiagate and reported it. And those same people who saw through that came at me over COVID. It was like, oh, my God, it's as if they were brainwashed or hypnotized. Because that's the effect of a psyop, and that's what happened. So to me, and all the people that I would normally look to for guidance decided not to talk about COVID. And if they did, they didn't say anything critical about it. It was, you know, all of my favorite reporters, all my favorite politicians, stuff like that. They went along and they didn't say anything. So it was left up to people like, you know, Joe Rogan and people like me and, people like Brett Weinstein and Max Blumenthal also at the Gray Zone. There was just a handful of people that were pushing back against the narrative, and they shut us down. They tried to, they took down five of my videos. They gave me a community strike. They demonetized me, stuff like that. They really came at me hard, and everything, all those videos they took down were correct. They were accurate.
Yeah.
It had to do with the transmission. That the vaccine did not stop the transmission. Now everybody knows this now, but mm-hmm. I caught on early that the vaccine did not stop the transmission. And the way I caught on to it was, first of all, I had Dr. Robert Malone on my show, mm-hmm. who invented the mRNA platform. He didn't invent the COVID vaccine, but he invented the basic technology that they used to invent the COVID vaccine. Then he did that. And then he gave up on the mRNA technology because there wasn't a way that, according to him, that there wasn't a way he saw that they could do it without it being toxic in a safe way. So he gave up on that, but they certainly didn't, the rest of them, meaning Tony Fauci and DARPA. And so he told me it was a leaky vaccine, and he explained to me what that meant, which means that even if you're vaccinated, you can still contract and you can still transmit the vaccine, which then nullified all the rationale for mandates. And so the vaccine mandates was a big cause of mine, that they were firing people and threatening people to lose their jobs. And a lot of people took it or else they would have lost their job. And so I was trying to raise the consciousness of people that, no, there's no reason. This is all a lie. These mandates are based on a lie that the vaccine will stop the pandemic and it will stop transmission and contraction of the virus. And I was noticing, what I would do is I would point out that the places in the world that had the highest uptake of the vaccines were also coincidentally having the highest outbreaks of the virus infection. And so they took down those videos. They didn't want me to say that. And I said, but the vaccine doesn't stop transmission. And they said, yeah, that's true, but you have to add context. And I wasn't adding enough context. Yeah. So they just didn't. So I was on a list, just like there's no YouTube files, but there were Twitter files. And so we found out that the government, in conjunction with what they call NGOs, which are just government-funded nonprofit organizations and big pharma-funded nonprofit organizations at universities, you know, the fact checkers, the misinformation fact checkers, which are just there to push a political point of view, they would send these directives to Twitter, take these down, throttle this person, take their post down. Well, I'm sure they did the same thing with YouTube, but, you know, Elon Musk didn't buy YouTube, so we'll never get that stuff released, so we don't know about it. But I'm sure I was on that list.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened to me. And to, it's just amazing to me how people are, you know, they scream about, rightfully so, they'll scream about what's happening in Palestine. They'll scream about Ukraine. They'll scream about Syria. They'll scream about Yemen. But they won't, those same people completely ignored the biggest story of their life, which was COVID.
Yeah.
And COVID was much, much bigger than the Iraq war. Way more, millions more people died during COVID. And, you know, whether you think it's because of the virus or because of the medical intervention, more people died than the Iraq war. And so it's even people, so those people, just like, you know, Cornel West came on my show and he's like, it's not the big story to me. He told me that to my face. He goes, we live in two different worlds. And I'm like, yeah, I know we do. I live in the real world and you live in an ivory tower where you repeat propaganda and ingest it instead of debunking it and being critical of it. You live in an ivory tower for 40 years. I've lived in the real world. I've been a blue collar comedian my whole life. So anyway, you know, and before that I was a bricklayer and I travel around the country, you know, in coach and meet regular people by the thousands every week. And he doesn't do that. So, so he was one of the ones who was a big letdown to me during COVID.
Yeah. I since I've heard all of your shows, I recall those, all those things. The other topic I did want to just cover here, like for a quick 5 minutes or something, was Ukraine. Now what happened is, in 2014, anyone who covered that at all had an interest of what was really going on. I interviewed Igor Lopatonik. He did documentaries with Oliver Stone. And he did Ukraine on Fire and Revealing Ukraine. And I got in all sorts of pushback for that, for people saying that's Russian disinformation.
Russian propaganda.
Yeah. Now, so first of all, you brought this up, but Zelensky, when this trouble happened, he shut down opposition TV stations.
Yes.
He shut down elections. You could call him a dictator. But the thing that always amazed me was anybody who looked into this was Ukrainians in the West. That's where Nazis are. They're not in Russia.
Right.
And Azov Battalion, right sector.
Yes.
Go on. Those guys, when you see the pictures of them, you go, this is a civil war. This is a civil war going on. And Oliver Stone interviewed Vladimir Putin. And I found that like kind of eye opening. I thought, well, this is not what I've been told about him. And, you know, it's kind of you get your own education. And then you find out that Hunter Biden, the energy expert, right? He's on Burisma oil and 10% for the big guy. And what did Biden say? He said, oh, yeah, by George, they fired the prosecutor. Right. This trouble, I'm just going to go through these quick names. Jeffrey Sachs, John Mersheimer, Aaron Mattei, Mike Benz, Colonel Douglas McGregor, Chris Hedges, Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, Oliver Stone, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Dave Smith, Scott Horton. Those people call this a proxy war. And I think that just goes over everyone's head. They don't really realize, well, what do you mean by proxy war? Because this is, and when you find out from USAID how they funded everything, they funded all the propaganda, you go, I'm just at a loss to explain how so many people are putting Ukrainian flags on their Facebook pages and stuff like that and going, yeah, I stand with Ukraine. I remember one time I was at somewhere, I was at a comedy club and they were passing out hand on a plate, you know, like a church for donations. And I said to the guy, oh, is that for East Ukraine or West Ukraine? He goes, oh, I don't know. I'll have to ask. Yeah.
So it was, you know, I mean, sorry, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to say, can you give me a comment with what you've learned on Ukraine? And I've heard you say that before, but it's just the reason I tune in because I'm hearing, and your guests, the real story. And the real story is 180.
Well, I do a joke in my act and, it's in my new special that'll be out in just a few weeks. I just filmed it at the Joe Rogan's Club in Austin, which was a really, really fun time. But what I say in my act is that, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in Ukraine, but I'm sure whatever the TV news is saying is happening, that's the truth. I'm sure they've lied about every war in my lifetime, lied about Vietnam through four different presidents, lied about Iraq twice, lied about Libya, Syria, Afghanistan for 20 years. But when it comes to Ukraine, I just think they're telling the truth this time. So, of course, I mean, and I'm just stunned at people, again, who I know, who comedians are supposed to be natural critics and cynics and skeptical of everything. And they were supposed to find where and poke holes in the status quo. They didn't do any of that with Ukraine, just like COVID. They didn't do any of that. They just accepted what they were being told on the news and by the New York Times. And that was that. That's what's actually really happening. Like, as if they didn't live through Iraq twice. And they didn't live through, I just, it was shocking to me. And so, of course, it didn't, again, doesn't take much digging to find out. I mean, every mainstream news organization was doing front page stories about how there's a Nazi problem in Ukraine right up until the war started, right? There's Nazis in Ukraine. There's a big problem with Nazis. And right up in, and then I go to lunch with my old roommate. And I say, yeah, well, you know, they're funding Nazis in Ukraine. He goes, Jimmy, that's a Putin talking point. You're doing, that's Russian propaganda. And I'm like, that's because you're told that. Who told you that that was propaganda? Who told you that that was a Putin talk? The same people who lied to you about Vietnam, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen. What, how many times, but you're going to believe them now? Yes. The answer is yes. So propaganda works. And, people have no idea. People who put the Ukraine flag in their bio, they have no idea how this war started, what it's about. They don't even understand the meaning of a proxy war. And they, of course, they don't understand the Nord Stream pipeline. It's just amazing. Yeah, Russia blew up their own pipeline. That's what they did. Yeah. It was real easy to debunk. It was much easier to debunk than it was to Russiagate. People just, it's amazing to me how people just ingest the propaganda, and it's sad. It doesn't make me happy. It makes me sad, but it gives me a big lane for my show because there's not many other people, including, you know, it's just amazing to me when I see people do their own YouTube shows and, you know, people like the Young Turks, for instance, or people like Breaking Points or Kyle Kalinske or David Pakman or those kind of shows. They just repeat what you're hearing on MSNBC. They're just repeating what you hear on CNN. They're just repeating what you're being told by the State Department. They're not debunking anything, whether it comes to COVID, whether it comes to Russiagate, whether it comes to, it's just amazing to me. Or Ukraine. I mean, there are people, all those people were pro-Ukraine war without any skepticism whatsoever. And they, you know, and it's so bad. The Young Turks repeated the slander against Julian Assange. I mean, so I don't understand why you would want to go into do your own independent news show and you don't have the pressure from advertisers to lie. But yet you still just repeat the propaganda that the people who do have the pressure from advertisers to lie. It's just amazing to me. But again, I guess I should be happy because, that gives me a big lane.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a quote for you, from you or one of your guests, but the quote was like, "We don't get to vote on any of these wars; they just keep presenting them." I think you mentioned there was $50 billion in the Pentagon budget for this, and as soon as they close down Afghanistan, it's moving to here, and now.
Well, that's exactly right. When people, like Kyle Kalinske and Breaking Points. And the Young Turks were giving kudos to Joe Biden for ending the Afghanistan war. I was like, whoa, whoa, wait. He's being allowed to end the Afghanistan war by the people who control him, which is the deep state and the donor class and the military industrial complex. So why are they allowed? So has he told, wait, before you give him kudos and pats on the back, has he told us what he's going to do with the money we've been spending on Afghanistan, right? And the $50 to $100 billion a year we've been spending on, what's he going to do with that money? And of course, the reason why they allowed him to shut down that war was because they had another war right in the chamber, and it was the Ukraine war. And so we just took the money we were spending on that, and we just gave it to the Ukraine war. And it's the same money funneling operation that the Afghanistan. These are all, as Julian Assange taught us, these wars are not meant to be won. They're meant to be ongoing. And it's to transfer the money from taxpayers to the international security state. That's all this is, to the war machine. That's all this is. And so that was the people don't know anything about Ukraine. People don't know anything about Syria. People don't know anything about what's happening with the Houthis right now. People just repeat, oh, well, Jimmy, we got to keep our shipping lanes open. By the way, those aren't our shipping lanes. Yeah. Those have nothing to do with us. We get our stuff that comes from Asia, comes across the Pacific. Those aren't our. We have enough oil in America. We don't have to import oil. So those aren't have anything to do with us. That's another war for Israel. It's another way to start a war with Iran, and it's all at the behest of Israel.
Yeah. Well, those are big topics. I just urge people to I'll make a link to tune into you. I mean, the latest one and the final topic probably we can just cover is thank God for Elon Musk, I think, for opening up all these files. And you have a quote, go something to the effect of the people who want to censor hate speech, hate speech.
Yeah,
the people talking about free speech.
The people who are always screaming about hate speech and how we have to censor hate speech are just people who hate speech, because that's what that is. The whole point of being pro free speech is that you're for speech that you hate. You have to be for the expression of ideas that you find disgusting. That's what being for free speech is. If you're only for speech you like, you're not for free speech. You're an authoritarian, censorious, and you're pro-dictatorship, because censorship is the hallmark of every dictator, and it's fascist. And so that's another thing I had to explain to people, that you just because you hate that speech and you can't, that doesn't mean you get to censor it and you shouldn't be for it, because that is the hallmark of dictators, and that is literal fascism.
Yeah. One of the things I do like that I'm in Vancouver, Canada, and you often bring up Canadian news, and we appreciate that just because it's got a different slant. And in Canada, a lot of things are censored in the CTV and Global, and you know, I can't even watch them because when they especially report on Ukraine or things like that, I want to throw up. And they're just regurgitating the other thing. So just a couple final questions. And I was going to ask you, was there a guest in your 10 years or so that was really impressed you, that he really knew what was going on? And, you know, when I did some studying of history, I was lucky enough to bump into Colonel Fletcher Prouty, and he worked in the Pentagon for several years. And he kind of matter-of-factly talked about the JFK assassination, and it was like a small university course, just... That's how the world works, and you're going to find it uncomfortable, but that's what it is. And I was wondering, is there someone that, over your many, many interviews, somebody that really caught your attention or kind of rang a bell?
Well, by the way, I'll be in Vancouver later this year in August. We're going to come up and do two nights at the House of Comedy. I'm pretty sure that's the venue. So, look for that. I haven't posted those links yet, but I will soon. So look forward to seeing you in Vancouver in August.
And, sure.
I mean, I think I've had a lot of guests that opened my eyes to a lot of things. Max Blumenthal, Aaron Maté. I would say Bill Binney I had on. He was the top code breaker for the NSA for decades.
Yeah.
And he was the one who came on and explained to me forensically how it was impossible for Russia to have hacked into the DNC server back in 2016. And he, you know, the FBI tried to put him in jail because he was telling the truth about stuff. And he was telling the truth about, 9/11 and how they, but he's smarter than them and he outsmarted them, the FBI. So he avoided jail. So I think he would be one of the big ones. I remember, Tucker Carlson, when I had on just last year, you know, he really woke up and, he used to be an Iraq war supporter. And then he found out that he's being lied to by the neocons, and he made it his mission to tell the truth about the war. And so Tucker and I came together over the Syrian war. He was the only guy in all of corporate news telling the truth about the Syrian war. And I was telling the truth about the Syrian war on my show, one of the few people on independent news. And at the same time, Tulsi was telling the truth too. So that was when I So I would say, and then when I had Tucker on my show, it was amazing how, well, of course he got fired for telling the truth. Yeah. He didn't get fired for lying. He was telling the truth about the Ukraine war and how the war machine works. And then he told the truth about COVID, and that was it. And they fired him. So let's remember, if you lie like Rachel Maddow did about Russiagate for 5 years straight at the top of her lungs, crazy conspiracy theory after the after another, you get rewarded for that because you're lying at the behest of the establishment. And she got rewarded with a $35 million a year contract. She only had to show up one day a week. Tucker Carlson tells the truth about all that stuff, and he gets fired. So you don't get fired for lying in corporate news. You get fired for telling the truth, which is what he did. And someone like Rachel Maddow is a psychopathic liar.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really good if you can change your mind about something. And I had a real dislike for Tucker Carlson and that little bow tie, stemming back to Crossfire and when John Stewart was on there and said, "You guys have to stop." I remember. So that was, and I just couldn't watch him anymore. But I like when you were talking about hate speech, you said that, look, there are some things that I do hate and you shouldn't.
Why can't I hate stuff?
Right. So, I gave Tucker a chance, and I've got to admit, you know, he's really surprised me. I appreciate all of it. And when he went to visit Putin and interview him, when Biden wouldn't even phone him.
Right.
Was it over 4 years? Oh, good Lord. Well, that was good. And what you were talking about led to the Seth Rich thing. So
that's correct. That's correct. Right. So they, you know, whenever they don't allow you to question, that's, you know, there's some real malfeasance happening. Some real nefarious stuff is going on. I wasn't allowed to ask normal questions about the Seth Rich murder. It's an unsolved murder.
Yeah.
I remember I was on a panel at the Young Turks with Ben Mankiewicz and Cenk Uygur, and I had just been smeared in a hit piece by the Washington Post by Dave Weigel for asking normal questions about Seth Rich's murder. And I said, can either of you remember the last time a reporter was not allowed to ask questions about an unsolved mystery, about unsolved murder mystery? And they're like, no, of course not. And you should all be doing what I'm doing. You should all be asking these questions. But they just like COVID, just like what Russiagate, just like Ukraine, there's a chill that goes out, and you're afraid that you're going to want to step on that third rail because it'll zap your career. You'll be slandered. You'll be canceled. And those people. And so my whole YouTube career is about tackling doing those things, talking about things you're not supposed to talk about, talking about things that you're going to get canceled for talking about. But I've been right about every one of them. Russiagate, Syria. Yeah. I've been right about Ukraine, COVID, forced to vote. No matter what it is, it's because it's not. And my whole point is, I'm not a genius, right? It just takes a little courage to actually push back against the establishment narrative. I'm a C student. I was a C student my whole life. So if I know it and I can figure it out, that means the people who are smarter than me know it too, but they're just lying to you. People like Rachel Maddow, people like Anderson Cooper, all the New York Times, they all know the truth, but they all know that they're not allowed to tell the truth. And so they lie to you. And that's why Americans, I like to say, are the most propagandized people in the world, except they don't know it. Other people who are propagandized, they know it. People in China, they know they're being propagandized. People who lived in the old Soviet Union knew it was propaganda. People in the United States still, after the Iraq war, after COVID, they don't even want to know the truth about COVID. They still turn to those same people. Even after they're now admitting they lied to you about Joe Biden's mental faculties for 4 years. Now they all admit it. They all admit, yeah, we lied about it.
Oh, who's that writing a book about it now too?
Jake Tapper. They still go back to those same people for the news, even after they admitted they lied to them for 4 years straight about Joe Biden's Alzheimer's or dementia. Yeah. They still go back to those same people who lied to them. That's just, to me, amazing to me. They still go back to the people who lied to them about COVID. It's just shows you how well propaganda works and how brainwashed people are and how willing they are to ingest propaganda because it's comfortable.
Yeah, well, nothing surprised me more than when the laptop thing, Hunter Biden laptop.
That's right.
51 state officials said it was Russian propaganda, and nothing. I mean, when Trump took away their security clearances, I kind of clapped and went, well, at least he did something. But those guys should have been fired. So that's not my whatever. It's just like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, he
51
took
of
their.
them.
I think they might have been. They might have been retired CIA and FBI people. I think that
Yeah.
was it. And Trump, I think he did take their security clearances away.
Yeah. Well, I think our time is about ending,
But
Mr.
now is the
President.
time for people who are, you know, I had hope for the Trump administration, and they're dashing it very quickly. You know, he's doing the bidding of Israel and in Yemen.
I know.
And Benjamin Netanyahu wants the United States. He wanted the United States to invade Iraq. We did it. He wanted the United States to bomb, to go into Sudan, Somalia. He wanted us to go into the Yemen, Syria. We did all his bidding. And now the last one on the list is Iran. So if Trump, and right now Trump is saber rattling with Iran, and he's bombing the hell out of the Houthis again in Yemen, and he
Yeah.
criticized Joe Biden for bombing Yemen, and here he is doing it again. And so he's going to end the war in Ukraine, but he's got another war in the chamber, and that's the Iran war. So we got to make sure that doesn't happen. And you know, Trump said he's for the era of free speech is back, except it again, it's any speech against Israel is, so he's not for free speech. So we got to keep hold Trump's feet to the fire. And you know, he likes to say promises made, promises kept. He hasn't kept his promise about keeping us out of the Middle East. Why do we have five aircraft carriers in the Middle East? Why is that? They people will say, oh, the Houthis, they attacked our group of aircraft carriers. And I'm like, do you ever stop to ask yourself, why does the United States have a group of aircraft carriers in the Middle East? Why don't we close our 800 military bases, take all our aircraft carriers, send them home, and we wouldn't have these problems, right? There's not a group of Russian aircraft carriers in the Gulf of Mexico. There isn't a group of Russian aircraft carriers off the coast of California. You know why? Because we're the world's terrorists, and that's what people need. So we have to make sure we stay on Donald Trump about all that stuff. And they're making rattling noises like they're coming to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which Donald Trump promised he would. So we have to be vigilant, right? Let's remember they're all politicians and they're all billionaires. And it's like I like to say in my show, how do you become a billionaire? By helping people. Of course, you become a billionaire because you're a crusher. And they're, you know, Elon Musk, there's when he does something good, I'll tell people the good things he does. When he does something bad, like lie about the H-1B visa program and want to crush workers and he's anti-union, I'm going to tell people about that too.
Yeah.
Right
Well,
now,
there must be.
Elon Musk just canceled Twitter accounts of accounts that were critical of Turkey's government, and he did that at the behest of Turkey. So let's keep that in mind, right? So he's more free speech than the last regime, but he's certainly not for free speech. And even Steve Bannon backed that up on my show when I had Steve Bannon on. So the important thing is we need to stay vigilant. You know, all governments lie,
Yeah.
and superpowers lie in super ways, as Jeffrey Sachs says. So let's keep our eye on the ball, and let's not fall into, you know, there's good things that Trump and Elon are doing, and there's bad things, and we need to call them out and be honest.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Doris, thank you very much for taking time to talk to me today. And I'll be tuning in every day. And if I see you in Vancouver, I won't bring my camera.
Okay. All right, brother. Nice to
Thank
talk
you.
to you. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Keep up the good work.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.